to Saturday Mist. We're going to turn the page and we'll begin our conversation with Kirk about really the differences between the religion of Christianity and the relationship associated with Yahweh's covenant. But before we do, Kirk, you did send me today the drawings.
Yes,
that you have prepared for the covers of Yada Yah, for questioning Paul and for introduction to God. The printing of those books is really exceptional. I really like the quality of the print, but the covers were not spectacular. I think the cover material is excellent quality. It's just that the covers themselves, we did really send them any artwork, and so we contracted our favorite in-house artist.
At great expense, I might add. Great.
At great expense. We spared no expense,
and
contacting our favorite in-house artist. And you have sent pencil sketches of your thoughts on how to create some art for the covers, and I thought it was wonderful. I like the crumbling Shaul for the questioning Paul book, the crumbling rock upon which it was written. I love the stone that Yahweh's name was written, particularly with two stones kind of off to the side, laying down next to it, one with the one with the Yahweh didn't have the stones, but the one with Intro to God, where it was Eloah that was written in stone and then had next to it Ab for Father and El for Almighty. Nicely done.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I hope it keeps getting better when I add color to it. So.
Okay, well, that's exciting.
That's very kind of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. You probably received the letter that we received from Amy Williams. Since William was the source of the news, Amy is I think William's aunt, but family, extended family of one of our favorite people, William the Elevator Man, who participates in our Shabbat program on Fridays on BTR. That was, boy, when it comes to encouragement, when it comes to stories that are uplifting, that was quite a tearjerk.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing sad in it. It was just all positive. It's so, sometimes positive can get to be so positive that rather than laughing or smiling, it brings a tear to your eye, tear joy.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't. Terry gave me your thing, but I did not read the emails this morning, so I'm kind of a little bit of a loss. So
let me share with you, because we spent most of our program yesterday talking about how in the world does somebody get misled into Christianity, and even how they stay misled, and with the truth being so clear, so profound, so wonderful. You know, why would someone choose a lie when the truth is so clear and so wonderful? So here's what she had to say.
Okay.
First off, I'd like to say that I am a daily listener and I'm extremely excited about what I'm learning. By the way, she gave permission to share this, so we're not violating a confidence here. First off, I'd like to share that I'm a daily listener and extremely excited about what I'm learning throughout the few years since I've been a member of the Covenant family. Due to the attention that is required, and I have a special daughter, her daughter is like my brother. Is special in many ways, and I want to tell you that she didn't write this. I'm ad-libbing here, it's such a privilege, really, to be around a special person like her daughter. I mean, the devotion required is enormous, but the return, the love that you get back in return, is so extraordinary. Anyway, she has a special daughter, and I don't get to call in or go into the chat room when I want. We have a chat room associated with the Shabbat program, as you know, Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very okay with that. By listening, I'm present with family. I've never physically met any of you other than, she writes in quotes the Larianator. It's our good pal Larry who has contributed mightily to this program, but participates very significant in a very significant way on the Shabbat program, and has a heart of gold. I can sincerely say you all are true family. Each of you brings so much to the table.
Oh.
Kirk, JV, Larry, Scott, Roy from Australia, Richard from Bless Yahweh, Don, etc.
Yeah,
Chuck. Each, I get a kick out of the different personalities, as do we all. I laugh sometimes so hard. You all have helped me so much in my walk and making a difference. Please don't stop. I'm amazed to discover that I can learn ancient Hebrew on my own. That's, by the way, something that you have contributed, I think, Kirk, is that what they're basically saying, if Kirk can do it.
Yeah, no, I got the thrill. Thanks, baby.
Kirk can do it, I can do it. What they don't know, and I've said it so many ways, it's just they're not buying into it as much. But I've said so many ways, listen, if Craig can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, I've stated as clearly as I can, I've got no credentials whatsoever. So if I can do it, anybody can do it. But they for some reason, Kirk, they believe you more than they do me.
I'm very convincing.
I work
at it.
Yeah. You all inspired me just from just listening to how you break down the Hebrew. It's so beautiful. I don't think I'll reach your level. Kirk, geez, that's funny.
Beyond is easy.
Yeah, but I'm having fun with it, as are we. And we're not laughing at you, Amy. We're laughing at ourselves right along with you.
Indeed.
Yes, we're laughing at ourselves right along with you. And that's good. I mean, it's healthy, I think, to laugh at ourselves.
Absolutely.
Craig, an old friend that I shared the Torah with almost a year ago, did his homework. So if this is someone, a friend of hers, Amy's friend, that she shared the Torah with almost a year ago, he did his homework. Now, that should tell you, and you read that, and you say, all right, if you shared the Torah and someone did their homework, what they're going to find is that Yah is very wonderful, likable, knowable. You're going to find that his covenant is extraordinarily wonderful. You're going to find that his witness is astonishingly credible. So he did his homework. He researched to find the errors that he had been told from what he learned by reading through Questioning Paul and Intro to God. He's a man that requires fact to convince him of anything.
Mm-hmm.
After months upon months, I also asked Willie, that'd be William, the elevator man. She gets to call him Amy, and William told us we could call him Willie, so he doesn't mind. Asked Willie. Willie is just one of our favorite people, not only because of his character, but the way that character resonates in his voice is just extraordinary. To step in, as they both share things in common. Well, long story short, this 50-year-old man became a member of the Covenant family upon his circumcision last month.
Wow.
He said that he told the nurses and the doctor why he was doing it, as they questioned him why so late.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh's words moved him deeply. He was in tears and is now on his own mission.
Wow.
Well, so I tell you what, as I read that, I was crying this morning. I mean, happy cry.
Yeah.
David, my 18-year-old son, who we've heard from on the Shabbat program.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Amy's called the Shabbat program.
Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah, she's extraordinary. By the way, she writes beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
She communicates beautifully, as does her son. I mean, really intelligent people.
Yeah.
My 18-year-old son now has three of his college friends wanting to know more and to understand the Torah. One is a practicing Christian, the other a non-practicing Christian, and then an agnostic. David said to them in my living room while all three were there at the same time, if our friendship is lost or compromised in any way as a result of what you're going to learn today, I'm okay with that. My relationship with Yahweh far outweighs changing my standard for the sake of keeping friendship. I got very quiet in the room this past Shabbat. They want to know why he's so secure and confident, and why he doesn't care what anyone else thinks, that why he does not compromise and follow them on holidays and the like. Well, they are still hanging around him and wanting to know more. Two will be reading Questioning Paul, the other Intro to God. I will keep you posted. Craig, I'm so grateful for the courageous step you took over a decade ago. It wasn't courageous, and it was no different than the step that Abraham and Moshe took. You know, I was at first reluctant, and then more excited with every step along the way. You know, it's no longer a walk, it's a run, it's a sprint. Souls have and will continue to experience the relationship of the covenant and salvation as a result. I hope I've encouraged you, my brother. May Yahweh bless you, your sister, Amy. And should you wish to share any of this, no permission is necessary. Go ahead. This is what I wrote her. I said, Amy, there is a happy beyond a smile. There is joy beyond laughter. This response runs so deep and is so moving, it begins with tears. I shed them gleefully as I read your letter. Others than to say that you have enriched Yahweh's family as well as my life, I simply say thank you. Yours may be the most encouraging and uplifting letter I've ever received. I agree with everything you said about our family, and especially its marvelous and diverse personalities. Eternity will be fun. I'm proud and thankful for you, for David, for my new baby brother, the 50-year-old man you and Willie led home. What's more, we share something in common. My younger brother is special. I know firsthand the devotion required to raise such a special child, but I also know the rewards. From Yah's perspective, we are all challenged, but he loves us nonetheless. We'll return after the break. Kirk, the reason I shared Amy's letter is because anyone who listens to what she wrote is going to recognize that she's extraordinary. And hopefully there are some that are listening to this program that are wondering, should they invest the time to learn the truth? Should they consider reading Yada Yah, Intro to God, and Questioning Paul? And I'm hopeful that there are those who are listening to say, yeah, I want to know what that woman knows, because that woman is extraordinary. I want to know what convinced that 50-year-old man to be circumcised at 50 years old so he could be part of the covenant. What did he read? What did he learn that was so convincing? What facts led him to that conclusion? Where he went in and told the doctors and nurses, this is why I'm having it done. I want to be part of the covenant.
Pretty extraordinary.
What is it that motivates a young man intellectually and in terms of courage at a time when being accepted in friends drives the daily lives of most teenagers? And this young man says, you know, I'm even willing to risk my relationship with my best friends because I want you to know the truth. What is it that he knows that perhaps you don't know? And that's the reason I shared that letter.
It's absolutely true. I mean, gosh, that's pretty impressive stuff. I mean, if I was listening to it, I would be curious. If I was searching, I'd be curious. Absolutely.
I sent a copy of that letter because he was mentioned by name to Roy. Now, Roy is listening to this. We're reading the letter, and Roy listens to the archives of this program. But Roy read this letter when I sent it off. It's the wee hours in the morning in Australia.
Great.
Roy is the smartest person I know. The only person that I would rank up with Roy in terms of just processing capability, ability to, smart for me is not so much the speed to which one can process information, although he's extraordinary in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Smart for me is a combination of two things. One is the ability to make connections so that you understand, and then the ultimate in smart for me is the ability then to convey in an effective, clear manner what you've come to learn and understand. And so by that criterion, for someone to be well-read, to be open-minded, to be active in their search and rational in their approach, Roy is the smartest person I know. I know that comes as a disappointment to you that I don't list you as my smartest friend. You may be my favorite friend, but
I make a living with a pencil. Come on.
But Roy, my guess is Roy's the smartest person you know too.
He was extraordinary. When he called and he did his thing, I was just mesmerized. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to read what Roy wrote. Because I think Roy is, it's one thing for it to appeal to a young man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're listening to this program, it might be one thing to know that this appealed to the young man. It might be one thing to know that this appealed to Amy, this wonderful mother and aunt,
mm-hmm.
a wonderful individual. It may be interesting for you to know that it appealed to her son, a student. To the 50-year-old man that was so resolute in his affinity for evidence and reason. But those who have listened to this program know that Roy is flat out brilliant.
Yeah.
And extraordinarily articulate in terms of conveying what he has learned. So this is Roy's response. I'm going to read a few sentences of it, then I'm going to comment on it because I want to try to convey my personal perspective on something that he said. Great letter. Very moving. Consider me encouraged, brother. I know that you don't like me saying this, but it is true that without you at least getting the ball rolling, I, for one, would not be a covenant member today. I was looking, but didn't know how or where to look. Your removal, with the Spirit's help, of the mountains of rubbish piled upon Yah's word clarified much for me, as I'm sure it did for many others. I'm studying Hebrew, and I'm very slowly and laboriously translating many passages. Now that I know what to look for, it's becoming easier. Bit by bit, my understanding is increasing. So consider this a return encouragement. Let's talk about that
okay.
a little bit when we return to Shatteringness. So, Kirk, the thing I wanted to clarify is in Roy's response is that I actually don't mind when somebody says that you got the ball rolling. You pointed me in the right direction. You told me where to look and gave me tools to make my search more effective.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind being told that.
What
better thing can there be than that? My only thing that I become uncomfortable with is when somebody credits me in some way for coming to know Yahweh or credits me for becoming part of the covenant because I had nothing to do with that. That's a combination of his testimony
yeah.
and your willingness to investigate it, come to know him, come to understand what he's offering and respond to it. So I'm completely out of that equation until such time as you become family, and then I'm back in the equation only as a brother.
Yeah, but we all feel that way about you as far as had you not dug so deep and found the stuff and given us the tools, we could never have done this without that. I mean,
I'm thrilled, just like I am here, thrilled to tears to be able to help in that way. And I think we should all feel a sense of satisfaction in that we're, as flawed implements, are able to help in this way. And I think you know, Kirk, that there was there is no need for appreciation, because every moment that was invested in translating and then understanding and then of sharing was personally beneficial, was personally enriching.
Well, that too, yeah.
And having to know that there's other members of Yah's family that have somehow been pointed in the right direction to in this regard is extraordinarily rewarding.
Yeah.
So there is no thanks that's appropriate, but there's absolute, I think, a shared sense of purpose, a shared sense of enjoyment.
Well, we all joy. We all appreciate you. So
I'm not talking about me. I just a shared sense of joy when others come to be part of Yah's covenant family.
Yeah, absolutely. That's those stories that Amy wrote you. I mean, that's fills up your heart.
Well,
yeah, it really does.
You're gaining family. Anytime you hear about a new cousin being born or something like that, it's exciting.
It's exciting.
Cool. It is. You get the same thing here.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, too, is that on the outside looking in, I think that having, you know, this brilliant mind come to know Yahweh, this this marvelous and richly charactered woman coming to know Yahweh, this rational man coming to know Yahweh, and her son, this courageous young man coming to know Yahweh. On the outside, that's got to be a bit convincing that there is, these are very diverse personalities and approaches and individuals, and yet they've all come to embrace and accept the same testimony. So on the outside looking in, I'm certain there's a sense of conviction that would be communicated. What's interesting, once you're on the inside and you look at this, there wasn't one moment that I felt validated for having a smart person, a courageous young man, a wonderful high character woman, a rational individual come to accept the truth about Yahweh, because you can't be more convinced than Yahweh has already made that conviction possible. And I mean, I've moved by venue of Yahweh's testimony,
yeah,
to the point of absolute conviction, to total and complete confidence, of absolute knowing and not absolute understanding, because understanding constantly grows. So the Christian concept of, you know, we're trying to convince people that what we're offering is true. That's why we send out evangelists. And it somehow, you know, when somebody else accepts it, it makes us feel better about it. It, on the inside, it doesn't. It makes us feel better in that we have an additional family member that we get to share eternity with. But our conviction does not come from other people's decisions.
No. Nor do they need to be reinforced by other people's decisions.
No. No, comes
otherwise,
exclusively
that'd
from our experience with Yahweh and his testimony. That's right. So it's really a unique situation. And at times it's important for us to pull back and to try to explain it and to share it from the perspective of someone who's not in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, hopefully what you heard will convince you that there is something that we share that would behoove you to know.
Yeah.
And yesterday we were talking about the fact that this, that in our world, and it has been true for a better part of maybe 1900 years, that the single greatest impediment to knowing Yahweh and understanding what he's offering
is the church.
Yes, yeah, the church.
That is very ironic.
It is. It's the single greatest impediment to knowing who God actually is and what he's offering.
I this is somebody put a door hanger on my while we were out, Terry and I were out, and
okay.
And I wrote down. I said to myself, "Okay, that's your door knocker. Now, if you're going to be a Christian," I said. So I made a little list of what they ought to say on their thing
okay.
if they want to be truthful.
Okay.
But let me just read to you what I received. It says,
okay.
Why did Jesus come to earth? Question. To save the world, to rule the world, to conquer the world. Your response is?
None of the above?
Well, they didn't give you that option.
If you're asking my response, it would be, well, first of all, there is no Jesus.
Yes, okay, good. We're on the same page.
And second, there is a Yahweh, and you might want to know, why did Yahweh manifest himself in human form? Why did he set apart part of himself and diminish an aspect of himself in human form to engage with us? Now, that one I've got an answer for.
mm-hmm.
But there was no Jesus, he didn't come to save the world. He did not come
to rule the world.
He did not come to conquer the world.
And he's, anyway, so I what I did is I wrote down that if you're going to have truth in advertising, then
yes.
you ought at least tell us what you should have left a door knocker like this on my door to tell me what you're doing. So I wrote down
okay.
what I thought it should say.
Okay.
I said, okay, here's what the leave behind should be. It says,
okay.
It says we represent a guy named Jesus. And he says, and he taught us to, number one, bow down to him, to worship him, to give his representatives 10% of your wealth, to work for free for those same representatives, to attend and pay them through gifts and offerings for their Sunday service. Occasionally, you'll be called upon to put your
Which
name
on Which is why we want
long...
you to join us, because yeah. it will diminish our burden.
Yeah, numbers.
Because we're going broke.
Yeah, and we want you to occasionally obligate yourself to a long-term building loan so we can have a nicer house to live in. And perhaps when you die, you can bequeath your estate. We also want you to go about recruiting others to become like you and to train your children to do likewise. We want you to ignore everything that Jesus said because we are Paulinists. And we follow the dictation of a man who claimed that he was, number one, insane. Number two, he is perverted. God,
yep.
of course, made him that way through his word, by studying his word. He is possessed by...
But he did that. Paul
yeah.
actually said that,
that
Yahweh's word has perverted me. I did not know sexual perversion
until
I read the Torah.
By the Torah.
And the Torah, and the Torah caused me to be a sexual pervert.
Oh,
there you go.
Then he said, and he also claimed to be...
He said that in Romans, by the way, for those looking.
Mm. He was possessed by a demon.
Yeah, he said that in Second Corinthians.
And he said that he was at least a Christ because the Jesus he represented couldn't complete the task and he had to do it.
Yep.
Now, see, if you have a door knocker like that, at least you're
yeah.
being truthful about what the deal is you're trying to get me into. And I thought, anyway, that was my response. Anyway.
Yeah, and by the way, we are alleging and acknowledging that there was no Jesus, even
mm-hmm.
though that's who we claim.
That was,
that we,
yeah, but that's
recall.
Who they represent.
And,
yeah.
Yes,
they
and
just
that
say
we,
diagnosis
and, right, and that there was no Christ,
mm-hmm.
even though that's what we have named our religion after.
Uh-huh.
And we're hereby acknowledging that Christ means to be drugged in Greek, and that
yeah.
the individual we're representing was not a Greek and did not have a Greek name nor a Greek title.
Yeah.
And therefore, for us to transliterate a supposed Greek title is insane. We also know that he was not Greek and therefore could not have had a Greek name, as in Jesus, that even in Greek there was no J, and that the ous ending in Greek was to comply with Greek grammar rules, and so that it would sound more like Zeus, because the Greeks wanted to turn Jesus into a combination of Zeus and Dionysus. we hereby acknowledge, therefore, that the name Jesus is not the name of a God or of any individual that has ever lived.
Yeah.
But besides that, we are here by representing the New Testament, acknowledging that according to Yahweh in Jeremiah, which is where we got the idea of a New Testament, that there is no New Testament, there will never be a New Testament, and that the covenant has not yet been renewed. And we full by acknowledge that when it is renewed, it will not be renewed with a Gentile church, but instead with his chosen people, with Israel and with Yehudah. We hereby acknowledge also that the content of the said Christian New Testament is erroneous because it expunges and annuls the Torah, when in fact the reaffirmation of the covenant will be based upon the wholesale integration of the Torah, making our religion absolutely, wholly, and completely ridiculous. Please join. Self-addressed envelope has been provided for your donations.
What a recruitment poster. Dog.
Hot dog, yeah. Oh, and by the way, the book that we're reading from, Bible, that's named after an Egyptian sun goddess. You know, talk about truth in advertising. When you told our listeners, Kirk, that the largest impediment to knowing who God is and what he's offering by way of the covenant is the church, even that name is hideously wrong.
Right.
Even in the Greek, is there any word anywhere close to that resembles church in either transliteration or translation?
No, they try to turn,
Ecclesia?
Ecclesia into it. I mean, but you can twist anything you want. Just tell your congregation this is what this means. And
you but you can't. You cannot extrapolate. You can't twist. You can't get from ecclesia. It's a compound word. Ec means out, and ecclesia means to call or to invite. So it's to call or invite out. Mm-hmm. Is what ecclesia means. There's no question. Ecclesia is a very common word in Greek, mm-hmm. based on a verb, and that ek means out, and that's all ek means.
Mm-hmm.
And so it means to invite out, to call out. And therefore, is there, and we know for certain that Yosha was speaking Hebrew to his disciples, which means what Hebrew word is closest to invite out?
Korah, I believe. It's
Mikra. Mikra, which is invite and to call out. To invite out is Mikra. It, too, is based on a verb. And in this case, kara is the verb, and it's virtually identical in meaning with ecclesio, the basis of ecclesia in Greek. And kara means to invite, to summon, to meet and to welcome, to read and to recite.
And in olden times, people were called out. They didn't have telephones and things. They would call. Right. Sometimes it was a town crier who would call.
Right.
That's all they
had.
Let's gather and meet for.
Right. Let's invite people. Let's invite people to a meeting. And so he was talking about building and establishing his mikra, which are the invitations to meet and to be called out in the world. Yahweh has seven of them. And if you were going to transliterate what he said, you would transliterate it is that he has a mikra. So if you drive around town and you see those buildings with the sun god steeples on them and the pagan crosses on top, how many of them are labeled mikra?
None.
None. But they're labeled church. So how do you get from ecclesia to church?
A lot of twisting.
I don't even think it's twisting. You can't get there by twisting.
Well,
it's just outright fraud.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's outright fraud to say that that God has a church, because there's no word in even the Greek Christian New Testament that even approaches church. Church is based upon the Anglo-Saxon word that was derived from the name of the daughter of Helios, so a pagan sun goddess. Her name was Church. And Church was the daughter of Helios, a pagan sun goddess, and she became the word, church became the word for circle and circus. And it was based upon the fact that in a circus you set around a round ring, and the sun's disc was round, and therefore halos were a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a sun god and sun goddess concept based on the name of a pagan goddess, and yet they claim that that belongs to God. I mean, outright fraud.
Mm-hmm.
Deliberate, purposeful fraud by people who want you to believe that that door hanging. Yeah, we have a church that's based on a pagan goddess, but it comes out of the book, though, we call the Holy Bible, which is named after the Egyptian goddess Biblia.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's in direct violation. God told us exactly, Yahweh said exactly, this is what you're going to do, and the tablets of stone.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you know who, because, of course, Paul has a God. It's the gospel of grace, and that's the Gratia. He was, Paul identified himself with Rome. He took on a Roman Latin name as Paulos. And in Paulos' case, the most enticing of the Roman goddesses were the Gratia. They were based upon the Greek goddesses, the Charites, the Charis, naked girls that were fond of merriment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who the daughters were of Dionysus?
Well, they were the three Graces.
Yeah, the three Charities in Greek, or the Graces
mm-hmm.
in Latin.
But you said